we'll get started, and I guess other people will join and post in when they join. All right, we're holding 6 lines from the bottom of your dial on the day. Okay, so we're in the middle of the Sugya as follows. The Mishnah told us that if a person checks on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, the Shchita is kosher. We started by saying at the top of your Dalet, beginning of the Gemara, that we say in the name of Rav that it's still also to eat that day. And we were saying that the Chachmei HaYeshiva was thinking to say that that would be specifically according to Rav Yehuda. So that led us into the discussion. Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that such a concept? If you shecht an animal on Shabbos, it would be also to eat that day. We went through a few possibilities. Maybe does it have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does it have to be mochan? Okay, but here it was mochan la'adam before. That we went to a side topic about Breira, about what Rabbi Yehuda holds as far as Breira. Then going back to the initial topic, we said maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda's shita about kalim that break on Shabbos, about broken pieces of kalim, whether you can use them on Shabbos. But we said the difference is there it was a keli, and now if it's not doing a malachon, something like the original malacha, then it's a new kind of thing. Whereas over here, before, the animal was available as food once it was shechted, and now it also is, so it should be called, oichla de esra. It should be called food that was just separated. So then we ended up saying, we thought to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would make a distinction between whether the thing is usually meant to be eaten or meant or not. However, we said that Rav would say that even when it's something that usually is used for liquids, nevertheless, Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda would hold, namely zeis and manavim, grapes and olives, even that Rav would hold, unlike the previous thing in the Gemara that Shmuel has said, Rav would hold that Rabbi Yehuda would say even grapes and olives, if liquids come out of them on Shabbos, it's mutter to eat them because you did set them aside for food to begin with. So by the same logic then, if we were to follow the same logic here as far as an animal, we ought to say that even though an animal that's shechted is before it was meant to be used for food and now it also is, but nevertheless, the fact is Rav would say there's no distinction. Rabbi Yehuda ought to be saying that's mutter to eat. So why are we saying that Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who's saying that's also to eat on Shabbos? Okay, 6 lines from the bottom of your Dalet Amud Beis. Ella Amud Rav Sheshes Breidi Rav Idi. So no, okay, Rav Sheshes Breidi Rav Idi says, here's another possibility where we see that Rav Yehuda holds this concept that something that you should have an animal that was shechted on Shabbos, even b'shogeg, that you should not be allowed to eat from it on Shabbos. Let's derive it from Rav Yehuda de Neiris. Let's say that it's Rav Yehuda's opinion as far as lamp. Whether you're allowed to move a lamp on Shabbos, whether it's mukta or not. Namely, the Tanya, we learn it right. Metaflim nevchava shavalo yashin divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to move a new lamp that has never been used before because you could use it for other purposes. You don't have to use it as a lamp on it. So we're talking about the way Rashi says it's made out of urim. As soon as it gets used, it's disgusting and you would never use it for anything else other than lighting with oil again. But before it was used, you could use it, for example, to store fruit or other things. So therefore, he says you're allowed to move it, a new one that's never been used on Shabbos, because it still has other possible uses. Avalo Yashan, but not one that was old, not one that was used, because Mukta Machmas Mius, because a person is nauseated and disgusted by it. So therefore, given Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So we would argue then, Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing over here. With this animal, it's also Mukta when Shabbos begins, because the fact of the matter is, when Shabbos begins, if you were to want to eat something of it, you couldn't save him in a chai. So therefore, you could argue by the same logic. Rabbi Yehuda would say, just like a ner yashan, you can't all of a sudden change your mind on Shabbos and say, you know what, I'd like to use it for something else. The same thing over here. Rabbi Yehuda might say that this animal, which was unavailable before Shabbos began, it was mukta because you couldn't eat from it. The same thing. It's shechted on Shabbos. You can't eat from it. The problem is, Amr to Shamal say that Rabbi Yehuda was mukta machmas miyut. The problem with that is, fine, you see that Rabbi Yehuda said that when it comes to mukta machmas miyut, where it's considered disgusting, and therefore, yeah, a person is going to say to himself, yeah, it's disgusting, it's earthenware, it's full of oil and grease and whatever, I don't want to use it for anything else. So therefore, he sets it out of mind, mukta, he keeps it completely out of mind. Mukta machmas isur mishan the place. Who says Rabbi Yehuda would hold the same thing where the isur is machmas isur, where it's not because it's disgusting, but just because, practically speaking, the halacha is you can't use it. maybe the person doesn't put that out of mind. Maybe he still has in mind, if conceivably somehow this animal were to be shechted on Shabbos, I would want to eat from it. So who says, just as he says, by Ner, Machnatios, who says he would say the same thing in the case of Shita? And the answer is Ain. As a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Huda would hold that. Then, like we learn in a Mishnah, Rabbi Huda, Kol Ner, it's actually a Braita, Rabbi Huda says you would be allowed to move on Shabbos any metal lamp on Shabbos, even if it was used before, because when it's metal, even if it's used, it's not so disgusting. Except for one that was actually used to light for that Shabbos. In other words, it was actually burning, there was actually a wick and oil burning in there, Bein HaShmoshet. For them, it's Mukta Machnas Eser. So therefore we see that Rabbi Huda holds that Mukta Machnas Eser is the same as Mukta Machnas Eser. The same way as he says that an earthenware lamp, a Kli Cheres lamp, is also to move on Shabbos once it was used, because not enough meals. The same thing he says, even if it was made out of metal, we're there, you don't have the meals aspect, but if it was burning when Shabbos began, where you have the Isser aspect, same thing, he would say you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. So we see that he says that meals and Isser are the same thing. Okay, the problem with that is, but Dilma Shiny Hossam Dehu Dokhi Levi Adayim, okay, but you have another consideration. It's one thing, when it comes to a lamp that you lit right before Shabbos, you would Dokhi it yourself. You actually went and lit with it before Shabbos, meaning that you therefore explicitly had in mind, I'm not going to be using this, I'm not going to be moving this or using this for any other purpose on Shabbos because I actually made it mukta at the time of Bein HaShmoshes and therefore it remains mukta for the rest of Shabbos. A behemoth, I wasn't doing the Yadayim. I didn't do anything to make it also. It's also because it's a living animal and then it can't be shechted. But maybe I'd still have in mind if there was some way to get it shechted on Shabbos that I would like to commit. Who says Rabbi Huda would say that just because it got shechted on Shabbos, therefore automatically it should be also because it was also before. So we can't prove from that Rabbi Huda would be the one who holds that what our Mishnah says, that the person checked of the Shabbos, that the person checked of the Shabbos, that it would be also to, that it would be also to eat boi boyen. Okay. Ela Omer Rav Ashi, Rabbi Huda de Mavashi. So Rav Ashi says, no, but we can prove it, so we can prove that it's according to Rabbi Huda from Rabbi Huda's opinion about cooking on Shabbos. The Tanakh, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually in the Sefer Shlomos, it's brought in a number of places in Shas. Hamavash over Shabbos, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, cooks food on Shabbos, b'shogig yochol, if he did it b'shogig, he himself is allowed to eat it, and that would be even boba yom, he himself would even be able to eat it on that day. This is according to the mayor. The mazid lo yochol, if he did it the mazid, then he's not allowed to eat it bo b'yom. Then he has to wait until after Shabbos, and actually he has to wait b'chdeshi also. He has to wait the amount of time after Shabbos that it would take to cook this item, because we don't want, once he did the mazid, we don't want him to benefit from his chil Shabbos. So like this, we want to make sure that like this, he has nothing to gain from it. If it takes an hour to cook, he has to wait until an hour after Shabbos to eat it, and that way he has no incentive next time to do such a thing on Shabbos. So the point is, though, that Rav Meir would be saying that Rav Meir is not counseling him when he did it for Shogig, just in case he might come to do such a thing to me. So Rav Meir says that if it was for Shogig, he himself is able to eat it that day. If he did it b'mezid, then he's not allowed to eat it that day, and for b'chdeshi also. And actually, Rashi says Rav Meir would hold that other people are not allowed to eat it that day either, and also not b'chdeshi also. Same idea. You don't want them to figure, okay, you know what, we have what to gain from having him cook for us on Shabbos, because we'll be able to eat it right after Shabbos. Okay, that's Dibur Rav Meir. Rabbi Huda says no. B'shogig ye'ochav b'mesoy Shabbos. If he did it b'shogig, then it can be eaten only on Motzei Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. But even though it was b'shogig, nevertheless we still come to him and tell him that he can't eat it until after Shabbos. B'mezid lo ye'ochav lomis. If he did it b'mezid, then he's never allowed to eat it. So the Rebbe Huda would say that if it was, so the Rebbe Huda is machmir in one, is machmir over the Meir. The Meir said it was b'shoigig, he could eat it right away. The Meir said he can't eat it until after Shabbos. Rebbe Huda says b'shoigig, he can't eat it so much after Shabbos. The Meir said the person himself who did it is never allowed to do it. Is never allowed to eat it. So that, so far, that would fit with our Mishnah. That if he chefs with the shagig, then he can't eat it that day. He can eat it Matzah Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is even more mekel. The shagig yochol Matzah Shabbos lachedem v'loy loy. If it was the shagig, then only other people can eat it Matzah Shabbos. He himself cannot after the chesh yosu. So he himself. He's not more maple really. He's being machmir over Rabbi Huda, but still he's being machmir over Rabbi Huda. That's what it is. Rabbi Huda was machmir over a mayor, and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is machmir over Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda had said that it was b'shoigig, he himself can eat it Matzah Shabbos once the station also. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says only other people can eat it. He himself, who did it b'shoigig, cannot even eat it after Shabbos. Again, we do a knas shergig go through mezid, that if he's allowed to eat it after Shabbos when he did it for shergig, he may come to do it for mezid another time. So shergig yochel and mezid Shabbos lachein v'loy loy. But mezid lo yochel lo lomis lo loy v'loy lachein v'loy lachein. And Rav Yochanan Sandler says if he did it for mezid, if he cooked it for mezid, then it should never be eaten after Shabbos, not by him and not by other people. There, Rashi says it's not so much a matter of knas. They didn't do an issur, why should we penalize them? The reason is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler learns it from Sukkim that anything that any issur that was done on Shabbos is also b'achila, but only if it was done b'mezid. Okay. So what we're left with is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a person did a malacha in the preparation of food, b'shergig, on Shabbos, then he's still not allowed to eat it on Shabbos, he's still only allowed to eat it Matzah Shabbos. Therefore, that fits with our Mishnah. When we said at the beginning of our Gemara, at the top of Yudal Ramadei, that Rav had said that you're not allowed to eat this animal that was shechted on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it on that Shabbos, and we said that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, there we go, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that b'shergig, that if you did it b'shergig, you're still not allowed to eat it till after Shabbos, when it was cooked. And when it involved cooking, and the same thing would be here when it involves shechita, they're both malacha. So that's how we get when we were discussing all this time that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is where we got it from. Now Rav Ashi tells us we get it from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person cooks on Shabbos, or the same thing when he does another malacha on Shabbos for shoygig, he's still not allowed to eat it until after Shabbos b'chdei shi'asu. Okay. So the question is, in that case, we got into this whole discussion because we were thinking to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do we have to say that? The noisma b'mezid v'rameir. Why do we have to say our Mishnah is talking about we did it for shogig, and then we're forced to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the only one who says that who makes that distinction, that the shogig, he says, you would have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. Rabbi Meir would say if it was the shogig, you're allowed to eat it right away. And Rabbi Yochanan the Sandler had said that only other people could eat it Matzah Shabbos, not him himself. So why don't we say that our Mishnah is talking about the mezid, but Rabbi Meir. That our Mishnah is talking about the shechted, the mezid, and say that Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah we just quoted, Rabbi Meir said that if he did it the mezid, he's not allowed to eat it until after Shabbos, the chdei shi'asu. So why don't we say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, and it's talking about he shechted on Shabbos, so on Yom Kippur, the mezid. The answer is loy stalkadaita. So you can't think that way. Dikatani dumya diyam kippurim, because our Mishnah had mentioned Shabbos and Yom Kippur together. They have the case. Person shechted on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Now, my Yom Kippurim loishen of a shogig, loishen of a mezid loyachol. Now, when it comes to Yom Kippur, obviously, regardless whether he did it for shogig or mezid, either way, there's no eating on Yom Kippur, period. So obviously, it means you're not going to be eating it on Yom Kippur itself. Therefore, a hachanami is the same thing. If the Mishnah is putting together Shabbos and Yom Kippur, the same thing must be true, that whether he did it for shogig, whether he did it for mezid, then he can't be eating it on Shabbos. That can only work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, that's what tells us that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. the fact that because if it was a corn instead of meir, then there would be that difference between b'shogeg and b'mezid. Reb Meir would say if it was b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos itself, and only if it was b'mezid do you have to wait until most the Shabbos will say she also. Next question is, me must this moitmas love b'shogeg for the b'hoda? What are you telling me? How do you think to say that our Mishnah is talking about where he shechted b'shogeg and it works only according to the b'hoda? What do you mean b'shogeg? The Mishnah had used the expression that even though he's mitzchayev b'nafshek, even though he's chayev misa, kares in the case of Yom Kippur, skila in the case of Shabbos, or if there was no Eidim v'asra, also kares, even though he's mitzchayev b'nafshek, nevertheless, he said the shvita is kosher. Obviously, that means it was amazing. Yes, there's no hockey comma. No, all the Mishnah means is Apple beat them amazing. Chayv b'nafshei, who, even though had he done this same action of Shchita, the Mazid, he would have been the Chayv b'nafshei. Nevertheless, Hoffa, the B'shogeg, but over here, where he did it B'shogeg, and we just said why we had to say the Mishnah is talking about B'shogeg, because it also mentions it together with Yom Kippur, where Yom Kippur, it doesn't matter, Shogeg or Mazid, either way you're not eating it that day. So even though it is the kind of malacha which would have gotten him a Chiyuv Kares, or skila, as the case may be, if it had been debated. But because in this case, he did the shogeg shchita kshera, therefore his shchita is kosher. So just that's where we're discussing how we know that our Mishnah is going to be Hoda. So we ended up saying, because we have a Mishnah that tells us three opinions on the subject of cooking on Shabbos. Reb Meir says if he did the shogeg, then he can eat it on that day. Only Reb Meir says he has to wait till after Shabbos. Reb Yehuda says, even b'shogeg, you have to wait from after Shabbos. The Mazid, he himself can never eat it. Rabbi Yechonah Sandler had been even more machmir and said, even if it was b'shogeg, only other people can eat it after Shabbos. And if it was the Mazid, nobody can eat it. So we said, our Mishnah, given that, we say, because our Mishnah mentions Shabbos and Yom Kippur, implying, therefore, that our Mishnah is talking about even when it was b'shogeg, then that can only work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that our Mishnah can't be according to Reb Meir, because according to Reb Meir, if we were to say that what Rav said at the beginning of the Gemara on Yud Dalet, that you can't eat it that day, that wouldn't work according to Reb Meir, because according to Reb Meir, if it was b'shogeg, you could eat it that day. That's the point. Because our Mishnah mentioned Shabbos and Yom Kippur, therefore we know our Mishnah must be talking about b'shogeg. And the point is, even though he did it b'shogeg, nevertheless, he can't eat it that day. In the case of Yom Kippur, because it's Yom Kippur.
Well, in the case why he can't eat it that day.
Well, in the case of Yom Kippur, he can't eat it on that day because it's Yom Kippur. But the point is, well, the Mishnah had just mentioned that he did Shabbos or Yom Kippur. The Mishnah didn't mention explicitly Shogeg or Mazid. But because it mentions also Yom Kippur, we're there as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. It doesn't matter whether he did it for Shogeg or Mazid. Either way, he's not eating it that day. That is what tells us, therefore, that our Mishnah must be talking about even he did it for Shogeg. Otherwise, it would have had no reason to mention Yom Kippur. Well, yeah, you know, right. And therefore, that could only work with Yom Kippur, because if Yom Kippur, he would have been able to eat it right away. The question is, the note material did from the Sandler, the omelotion of the Shogeg, volotion of a Mazid, loyachil. Okay, in that case, we have a third possibility. We could say that our Mishnah goes according to the third opinion, Rabbi Yisrael Sandler, who said that whether he shechted on Shabbos to Shogeg or cooked on Shabbos to Shogeg or Mazid, loy ochel, he's not allowed to eat from it. Rabbi Yisrael Sandler had said that if it was Shogeg, he himself is not allowed to eat from it, even must of Shabbos, but other people are. And if it was Mazid, nobody is allowed to. Why don't we say our Mishnah is talking about that? He's talking about according to him. So he shechted on Shabbos to Shogeg. We're saying the Shechita is kosher, but other people can eat from it, Matzah Shabbos, but not him. The answer is, because we can't say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yechonah Sandler, because Rabbi Yechonah Sandler commasig Matzah Shabbos, l'achedim v'loy loy, because Rabbi Yechonah Sandler makes that distinction. He would say that even Matzah Shabbos, you can't eat it yourself, only other people can eat it. However, that doesn't work with our Mishnah. Tana Yidan, because the Tana of our Mishnah, Shchitah to Shreda for something. He just said a blanket statement that Shchitah is kosher, implying Loishna Loiv, Loishna Lachedim, so it doesn't matter for him or for other people. In other words, our Mishnah is implying that there's going to come a point where he's allowed to eat from it. Fine, Rav can say that point only comes Matzah Shabbos, Bastashia also, after the amount of time it takes to do the Malacha. So therefore, that's what tells us. So again, it can't be like Reb Meir, because then he would be able to eat it if it was b'shogeg right away on Shabbos. It can't be, on the other hand, like Reb Yechonah Sandler, because the Mishnah just says shchitat kshera, implying that there comes a point when anybody is allowed to eat it, whether him or somebody else. So the only way our Mishnah can work is according to Reb Yehuda.
Okay, so if someone can eat it, so not, so, and What is the, why can a goat come through your Holy Tummy?
Because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would say he, the person who chefs it or cooks it, is never allowed to eat it, even the Shabbos. Our Mishnah just said Shkitasik Cheir, which implies kosher even for him. So that can't work. Anyone else can, but he can't, right?
He can't, right.
So therefore, that's what forced, so again, once Rav had said his statement, that when we say that Shkitasik Cheir still means that you have to wait till after Shabbos, that can, and we said that our Mishnah is talking about the Shogig, that can only work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it was the Shogig, then according to Rabbi Meir, you'd be able to eat it right away. And if it was according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, he himself is never allowed to eat from it. Even if it was the Shogig. The only one that works according to by elimination is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Shogig is allowed to eat from it, not the Shabbos. The Mezid, only other people can eat from it.
What did we say was not according to Rabbi
Yehuda? We didn't. We were asking why we're forced to say it goes only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because once we establish that our mission is talking about the Shogig, then it can't be appointed a mayor, then it has to be appointed a Yehuda.
And initially we didn't know.
Initially we didn't know, right. Or initially we didn't realize that our mission is specifically talking about the Shogig, right. Okay. Rashi brings another possibility over here in the Sugya that maybe when we say over here, again, when we said before in the Mishnah that we quoted, we said that Rabbi Meir had said, B'shergig yoichol b'mezid lo yoichol, and Rabbi Huda had said, B'shergig yoichol b'mezid Shabbos b'mezid lo yoichol lo'lomis, all talking about him eating, whether that Rabbi Meir says he could eat it right away versus after Shabbos, and Rabbi Huda says he has to wait till Shabbos or can never eat it. Rashi brings another explanation that maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda also, when they say lo yochol, they mean he can't eat it, but other people could eat it. However, Rashi says no, because again, the whole point is, we're comparing to Yom Kippur. With Yom Kippur, there's no difference between him and somebody else. When something is also for him to eat, it's also for everybody else, and vice versa. So you can't make that distinction. When Rabbi Meir is saying, the shogig yochol, it means he can eat or other people can eat. The mezid lo yochol would mean he can't eat and other people can't eat either until Motzei Shabbos. And the same thing in Rabbi Huda, there's no difference between him and somebody else.
Of course, Rabbi Huda, but now he's worried also with the shogig.
According to Rabbi Huda, as soon as he shechted it, no. Oh, well, Motzei Shabbos, yeah. Motzei Shabbos, so she also, yeah, Rabbi Huda would hold it. So far, so good. So that's the end of that discussion. That's what tells us, therefore, that again, going back to the beginning of the Gemara on Yudalit, when we said that the Dorash Shir Barab, Shmeir Rab, Asura Ba'achilu L'Yoymer, that we're not allowed to eat from this animal that was shechted on Shabbos during that day of Shabbos itself, meaning, by the way, obviously now, I mean, there's other things that would normally need to be done to prepare it for eating also. You have to salt it. That's a different halacha. So Rashi had said at the beginning of the day, we're talking about even if, let's say, you wanted to eat it raw. Which technically, by the way, Tosfos discusses over there that in principle you are, I mean, usually of course you have to salt meat, so you have to roast it or whatever to get out the blood, but in principle you're allowed to eat it raw as long as the blood hasn't moved from the original places that it was. We'll deal with that concept later on in the chapter. Without salting it. So salting it would be different than the law of Shabbos. Salting it to remove the blood. That's the point. Now, in principle you're allowed to eat a piece of raw meat without salting, without roasting, without nothing, as long as whatever blood is in it hasn't moved from its place, still within the same blood vessel that it was when the animal was checked and you cut off that piece. In principle, practically speaking, I mean, it's not.
No, but you see, if you cut a piece of meat and you see there's no blood in it,
you have whatever blood is in it is still in it. None of it is coming out. Basically, yeah. So then, yeah.
The coming out means the blood's there. You're catching the blood.
No, but that's the point. If the blood is still within the capillaries, still within the muscles, still within the flesh or whatever, then it's allowed in principle.
Why wouldn't it be allowed?
Because then if it goes out, then it's already a different thing. It's now not considered part of the meat anymore. As long as it's in its place among the muscles, then it's considered part. Not, I shouldn't say when it's in the blood vessels. Blood vessels is a separate thing. When it's in the capillaries, when it's in the tiny little things that you can't see with the naked eye, as far as the eye can see, it looks like it's just spreading around in the muscles, then fine. It's still considered part of the meat, basically.
The reason why we salt is to take out all the blood.
Right. Because midrabbanon, right. You do have issues midrabbanon over here, and you also have the issue, again, eventually, when you cook it, the blood is going to move around. It's going to bubble out. It's going to whatever. Therefore, you have to salt it before you're going to be cooking it. Right. Okay, so that's the point then. When we said then that Rav had said that also Ba'achila B'Yoma and the Chaverim, the Yeshivalite, thought to say that that's according to Rabbi Huda, now we see why we were going to say that it's according to Rabbi Huda. Okay. Now another related discussion. Tani Tana Kamedirah. A Tana taught a braisa in front of Rav as follows. I'm a vashal of Shabbos b'shoygig yechol. If somebody cooks on Shabbos b'shoygig, he can eat it. The mezid lo yechol. But if he does it the mezid, then he can't eat it. Umashkik le Rav. And when this Tana was saying over this braisa, he's teaching it Barabim on the day of Adrosha, So Rav made him be quiet. Rav did not want him to teach this braisa. The question is, my time amashik le. Why was Rav telling him not to teach that? You're going to tell me because Rav himself holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the shogig would be also till Motze Shabbos, and the maze that it would be also for him, and the maze that it would be also for him forever. And you're going to say the Tana is teaching according to the mayor. So what's the problem? So what? Because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore nobody else is allowed to teach like the mayor. Let him say, okay, he's teaching in the Braise, and Rav will tell people, by the way, you should know that's only according to the mayor. But already we saw like Rabbi Yehuda. Besides that, anyway, does Rav even hold like Rabbi Yehuda in this machlokas? The Omer of Chonan Bar Ami, Rav Chonan Bar Ami says, he murdered who Rav was Talmidei, when Rav would paskin for his Talmidim, as far as these him, murdered who could have made. He would actually paskin to them like Rabbi Meir, who's the most maple, that for sure you can eat it right away, and the maze, you have to wait till Motze Shabbos. V'chidorish v'pirka, only when he was darshaning in the public drosha, Dorish could Rabbi Yehuda, then he would darshan like Rabbi Yehuda, that v'shkogig, you have to wait till Motze Shabbos, mezid, you had, and mezid, you can never eat it. And,
Hello?
Okay, let's continue. Okay. Where were we? Yishum Ame Ha'oret. And the reason why he would do that differently is because of the Ame Ha'oret, because you don't want the Ame Ha'oret to be makel and think, okay, if we cook the shogig on Shabbos, then we can eat it right away, and therefore they're going to get careless in Hilchos Shabbos. But therefore, so we see that Rav himself holds like Rameel, otherwise he wouldn't have passed in for a Talmidim like Rameel. The only reason he's saying like Rabbi Yehuda is Yishum Ame Ha'oret. Why is he telling this Tana who's teaching like a mayor to be quiet? So you're going to say, okay, maybe the Tana is back at teaching it. He's not doing a private thing. He's doing it Barabim. He's teaching this right to Barabim at the time of the Pirka, at the time of the public shear. Okay, still the problem is, Alter Kula Amla Tana Taisi. Still, the Velt doesn't pay attention to what the Tana says when he's repeating Mishnayot and Braises to themselves. They pay attention to what the Amurda says, namely, so you have the Tana is sitting over there by the side and then repeating to himself Mishnayot and Braises. They don't pay much attention to that, the Velt. They pay attention when you have the Amurda standing in front of Rav, and Rav says his point quietly and then briefly to the Amurda, and the Amurda goes and explains it Barabim what he's saying. People pay attention to that, because that's what's meant for public consumption. So who cares if the Tana is sitting on the side and saying a Braise like a mayor? Rav Gershon, by the way, explains it a little bit differently. He says the Vort is the Tana is teaching Braises that are in Lashon Kodesh. The Amurda is repeating over in Aramaic. The Velt speaks Aramaic. Therefore, they're listening to the Amurda, not the Tana. The point is, so why is Rav worried about the Tana saying what he's saying and telling him to be quiet? Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, Tana Shoichet Tana Kamedirav. What it is, you have the story a little bit wrong. The Tana wasn't talking about cooking. The Tana was actually, when he taught his Braisa, was actually talking about shechting. Namely, he learned the Braisa as follows. Tashoichet b'Shabbos, b'Shogig Yechol, b'Mezid lo Yechol, that if a person shechted on Shabbos, that he'd be allowed to eat from it if right away if it was b'Shogig and not if it was b'Mezid. And so on that, Omale, so why is Rav telling him to be quiet? Because you're misunderstanding Rameo's opinion. My Daitach, what are you thinking to say the Braisa like this to Rameo? Apparently you're thinking like Rameo, that the same thing as Rameo would hold as far as cooking, he would hold as far as shafting. No. Ad tan like a shoni Rameo elabim avashal. No, because you know when Rameo is saying that's mutter, when he did something with shogig on Shabbos, the reason is, because we're talking about cooking. The roi lochus. After all, the thing was available beforehand. It was in principle, you were allowed to eat it b'halacha. You could chew it when it was raw. It wouldn't be the normal. It wouldn't be derech achila, but you could have eaten it raw. So therefore, we could say, therefore, that the only issue asked, so therefore, there's no issue mukta, really. In other words, the person could have conceivably had in mind before Shabbos that he's going to eat it raw. Therefore, he ended up cooking it for Shergig on Shabbos. There's no issue of mukta, and Rav Meir is not canceling him when he did it for Shergig on the concern that he may come to do it for Mazid, so therefore, we don't have any problem.
Because
he could have thought about before Shabbos, because it wasn't in principle mukta, because it could have been something that was edible before Shabbos. By the way, I thought, well, but the point is, there's no reason to say that it was mukta. He didn't necessarily have it out of mind. I did see, by the way, a discussion among the posts in Achronim related to this about, for example, frozen chicken before Shabbos. There, arguably, nobody eats raw chicken nowadays, especially people know about salmonella and whatever. So therefore, arguably, this concept that we're saying over here wouldn't necessarily apply. This that we're saying that even if a person was mavashal, you could argue that maybe it wasn't mukta to him, but nevertheless, or even bechal, you could argue whether such a thing as mukta on Shabbos, because you could argue roi lochus, we wouldn't necessarily say that. We wouldn't necessarily say that with raw chicken.
Because we learned from the recent that there was an area where it actually ate raw most days and steak, raw meat chicken.
Well, we learned back in Menachos, we talked about the story of Yom Kippur, that if Yom Kippur came out Friday, and they couldn't cook it Friday night, and it would have been nicer by the time Shabbos is over, so therefore we had the Bavli and Sanhedrin, and we said over there we'd eat it raw, right? Which again, technically you're allowed to do, as long as the blood hasn't moved from its place among the muscles. But, yeah.
Why did the blood move from the muscles?
Because then, as long as it's among the muscles, it's considered like part of the muscles, basically.
Then it has a separate mafia,
so it's done. Then it's also Dirabon. Okay, well, we'll get into that concept more later on in the chapter, but anyway. Okay. So even Rav Meir is only going to say, says Rav, when you're talking about cooking, where at least the thing wasn't mukta, conceivably you could have had in mind to eat it before Shabbos, therefore fine. The only problem is that he cooked it on Shabbos, and that you could argue he did it for Shergig, and therefore you shouldn't cancel him. Abel Shergig, but when it comes to shechting an animal on Shabbos, fine. Okay, let's say we're not going to penalize him for the Easter Shabbos because he did it for Shergig. But after all, the Inroy Lokos, he couldn't have eaten it before Shabbos because there was an Easter of Eben Achai on it. There was a living animal before Shabbos. Lochus means the truth. I mean, Rashi explains that the word kois or whatever, means any kind of not normal way of eating. So like here, eating something that normally would have been cooked is called lochus, yes. So therefore, Abel Shrekot Enjoy Lochus Loi. So therefore, says Rav, you, Tana, cannot possibly think that Rebbeir would say that you're allowed, that if a person shechted on Shabbos for Shrekot, he'd be allowed to eat Voi Voyoyim. No, because Shrekot is different than Mavashot. So therefore, that's why he told him to stop teaching the Sraisa, because he had it wrong.
Mevashol,
you could say one thing, because then there's no issue of mukta, but shochet, there's also the issue of mukta, because so therefore you can't say. Okay, question. Because the shochet, it was mukta before Shabbos, because before Shabbos, until it's shechted, it's Eivim Menachah, it's also, right. As opposed to something that has to be cooked. Now it's raw, okay, you don't normally eat things raw, but the fact of the matter is you could conceivably eat it raw. There's no issue in doing that. Okay, so the question is, okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. We were talking about a case where a person shechted the shergig on Shabbos, but Amar Rav Huna, and yet we have, at the beginning of the sugya, that Rav Huna said, Dorash Chia Barav Shmei D'Rav, Asur of Achilu L'Yoyma, that we said in the name of Rav, that's also to eat that way, the Nasvin Chavrai L'Meim Rav Yehudi, and we said that the Chachmei HaYeshiva thought to say that could only be appointed a mayor, implying her a mayor shori, which would imply that a mayor who's more meikel before when it comes to Mavashal would also be more meikel when it comes to a shoichet. So what are you telling me, Rav, that a mayor would be machmer when it comes to shoichet, when apparently the very fact that we said that our Mishnah has to be appointed of Yehuda implies that a mayor who's more meikel would say it's Muslim, if it was Vashogig, which is how we explain our Mishnah. The answer is because this, okay, again, we said that our Mishnah is appointed of Yehuda. Now again, we have the three opinions before. We had Rabbi Yehuda, we had Rabbi Meir as the most meikel, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir on top of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda Sandler is machmir on top of Rabbi Yehuda. Right. Now, we proved from the Vashel what Rabbi Yehuda would hold as far as Shochet, implying, in other words, apparently, what Rabbi Meir holds as far as Mavashel is also what he would hold as far as Shochet. The Shochet, you can eat it right away, but maybe you can't eat it till Malka Shabbos. So what are you telling me, Rav, that Rav Meir is going to make that distinction? Then why are the Chachmei HaYeshiva thinking to say, oh, Mishnah has to be appointed of Yehuda? You could have just as well said it's appointed of Meir. Then say that Rav Meir would also say that if he shechted B'Shergig on Shabbos, it's also until Tomas the Shabbos because of the issue of Mukta. The last one, the two words. Implying that Rameir would be would say that's mutter. The answer is he shari Rameir. You know what's the case where Rameir would say it's mutter if he says it on Shabbos. Suppose the person had in his household had a person who was sick before Shabbos, and therefore he knew that at some point he was going to have to feed him on Shabbos. So therefore now there's no Issur Mukta, because now you had in mind that it may have to be shechted on Shabbos in order to feed this person. So now he shouldn't have shechted now, because I guess the cholah wasn't quite so sick yet. Nevertheless, it was b'shogeg. The issue of mukta you don't have, because he did have in mind before Shabbos that the patient might get worse and he might end up having to shechted on Shabbos. Therefore, that's when Rameir would say that it's a lie. But it's true, if you didn't have a cholah, then Rameir would agree that you may not have the issue of shogeg, but you do have the issue of mukta, and that's reason enough to ask it, even if it was shechted the shogeg, to wait till Motzei Shabbos. The question is, how can my family the Rabbi Yehuda's author? Okay, if we're talking about there was a cholah there, then why is Rabbi Yehuda saying it's author? No, forget what's the chiddush. Even if it was b'meidin, if there's a chayla over there, then you have to shech for him, so it should be mutter. How much more so if it was b'shogeg? Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying even b'shogeg is also till Motzei Shabbos? The answer is you're going to chayla. Okay, but we have to explain that what happened is you had a sick person, but then on Shabbos he became better. But now, mukter you don't have, because the rule is something is only mukter if it was mukter bein hashmoshes. And bein hashmoshes, the guy was still sick, so therefore, as far as we knew, we're going to have to shech for him. So mukter you don't have the issue. But all you have the issue is shogeg or not. Rameir who holds that if he did it iser b'shogeg, we don't cancel you. We don't say that you might come later on to do it b'meizid. Fine, so he'll say it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda would say that if he did it b'shogeg, we're going to cancel you, because you may come to do it b'meizid. Okay, well the fact of the matter is, in this case, had the person still been sick, you would have been entitled to shech for him. But because he's better, then no, you don't have a hesher to do it on Shabbos. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you you can't eat him. So that would be the reason. V'chihod Omer of Acha Ba'abe Omer Rav, as in fact we find that if Acha Ba'abe says in the name of Rav, which Rav is who the whole sugya we're dealing with, V'amilo Omer of Yitzchak Ba'abe Omer Rav, Hashrechet L'choyle B'Shabbos, if a person shechs an animal for a sick person on Shabbos, and here we're talking about Rashi says where he became sick on Shabbos. But wait, we'll talk about other Rishonim in a second. So here, a person who became sick on Shabbos, also labori, then a healthy person is not allowed to eat from that particular animal berber yet. There's no issur Shabbos because it was pikuach nefesh, but there's still the issur mukta. Because again, of course. So he shechted l'chol b'Shabbos, which he's allowed to do because it's kruach nefesh. But nevertheless, a body is not allowed to eat from it because you still have the issur mukta on it. On the other hand, I'm a vasha l'chol b'Shabbos, mutter l'bori. On the other hand, if a person cooks meat or whatever for chola on Shabbos, then a healthy person is allowed to eat whatever is left of it after the sick person ate. What's the reason? Because again, we're back to the matter of mukta. I roi lochus, I ain roi lochus. Because again, the thing that you cook could conceivably have been eaten raw. It's an unusual way of eating, but it could conceivably have been eaten raw. Therefore, some mukta you don't have an issue. The only issue is bishul, and again, because it was shogeg, and not shogeg, because he had rishus to do it, because it was a chola. Therefore, bari is allowed to eat. On the other hand, shofet, v'hai ain't a roi lochus, as opposed to shvita, you couldn't possibly have eaten from it because you had an issur on it, even a chai, and therefore you had the issue of mukta on it. You didn't have in mind that you were going to shecht it before Shabbos because the patient wasn't sick before Shabbos. There is actually a distinction there. You have other Rishonim, including the Rambam, who learn not like that. Now, the halacha is, when it comes to mukta, you have a number of different kinds of mukta, and you also have nola, and you have whatever. There's a number of kinds that, there are, of course, a number of kinds of mukta that exist on Shabbos as well. You have a machlokas in a number of places in Shas, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether mukta is allowed on Shabbos. In particular, does it, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you have something that you did something before Shabbos to demonstrate that you don't plan to use it on Shabbos. Classic example in a few places in Shas is that you have fruit that you set out to dry, well, until it dries, it's not really edible. So then even Rav Shimon would agree that that's Muktzah Shabbos. On the other hand, if you didn't do that, if you weren't Jericho the Yadayin, but you just didn't specifically have in mind, Rav Shimon would hold you allowed to on Shabbos, Rav Yehuda would hold that not.
And so you say it's...
So therefore, so an example, the dry fruits that you set out to dry, according to everybody, would be Muktzah Shabbos. But the actual halacha, you also have the issue of Noilad. There's something new that came into existence on Shabbos, where, again, you have, for example, you have an egg that was laid on Shabbos, is one example. But
what's the problem with the fruit?
The problem with the fruit is, from when it's fresh until it's dried, it's not really edible. Half fresh, half dry, it's not edible. So if you put it out to dry before Shabbos, you've demonstrated that you don't plan to eat from it on Shabbos. Even Rav Shimon would agree that that's
not edible. Why is it not edible, even if it's not dry?
Because that's how it is. You put it aside, intending that you're not going to eat it until it's dry. The fact that you put it aside. Okay, so anyway, the bottom line is, the actual halacha, as the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Beis Tah, is the halacha is like Rav Shimon in these things on Shabbos and like Rav Yehuda on Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov, you're allowed to do certain halachas, such as cooking and carrying, the Chachamim were afraid that you're going to get careless with Yom Tov, and therefore we impose extra rules and muktzah on Yom Tov. But, so Rashi is learning over here that specifically we're talking about where the guy became sick on Shabbos, so therefore you didn't have in mind before Shabbos to shech the animal, as opposed to it would be different if he became sick before Shabbos. Other Rishonim, including the Rambam, don't make that distinction. They hold it doesn't really matter whether he became sick on Shabbos or before Shabbos. Either way, given that on Shabbos we don't hold of the concept of muktzah, unless you were doiche the yadayim, unless they're like a dry fruit, and here with an animal you weren't doiche the yadayim, it was also already before, so therefore it doesn't really matter. So either way, we're saying that the issue, again, if you shechted for the chola, then Rav is saying you're not allowed to eat from the animal on Shabbos.
If it happened on Shabbos.
Right. So the idea is, in other words, this that we're saying, according to Rav, the Rambam would hold that this is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Given that the halacha is like Rav Shimon as far as Muktzah on Shabbos, then this particular din wouldn't apply. You would say that either shechita or bishul, doesn't matter whether the patient was sick before Shabbos or on Shabbos. Either way, the body would be allowed to eat from it. As long as now the halachas of these things in Shulchan Aruch are slightly complicated. As far as the question of person was mevashal on Shabbos or not, there are a number of nuances in it. But let's finish the Gemara and then we'll talk about those various nuances. Amar Papa, Amim Shas Shoshet Mota. Now you can actually have a case. Rav Papa says where you shecht for a sick person on Shabbos, and you are allowed to eat from that meat. A healthy person is allowed to eat from that meat on Shabbos. Namely, if a person was sick before Shabbos, then there's no issue of muktzah. And again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't be an issue. But yes. And mevashal osur. And on the other hand, I can find you an example. Then there's no issue of muktzah because you had in mind that you might have to shech the animal on Shabbos. On the other hand, mevashal osur. On the other hand, Rapapa says you can have a case where cooking on Shabbos for a sick person, a healthy person is not allowed to eat from the rest of it. Namely, the case would be, suppose that he had to chop a pumpkin from that was attached to the ground and cook it for the guy. There was an itzer muktzah because it was mechover. It was attached to the ground. Bein hashmashas, he didn't have in mind. Bein hashmashas, that you're going to have to pick it. And Rashi brings another possible explanation that some people want to say. We're talking about that it would be muktzah even if it was detached from the ground before Shabbos, because pumpkins are much harder and you didn't have in mind to eat it raw. Rashi says, no, the word kotsat always means to detach something from the ground. Anyway, pumpkins are softer than meat, and if we're saying that a person could conceivably eat meat raw, then they can eat pumpkins raw too. Okay. So therefore, we're left with the first explanation of Rashi that we're talking about. If you cut the pumpkin from the ground and cooked it on Shabbos, then you're not allowed, then a bori is not allowed to eat from it on Shabbos because you do have the issue of muktzah.
But if it was detached,
then and he cooked it on Shabbos, then there's no issue of muktzah, then the bori is allowed to eat from it. Okay. Amar Rav Dimi Min Hagdol. Hilchta. The bottom line halacha with this is as follows. Hashosha l'chol b'Shabbos mutul bori b'umta. If you shecht an animal for a sick person on Shabbos, then a healthy person is allowed to eat raw meat. Umta means raw meat. Obviously, you can't cook it on Shabbos and you can't salt it on Shabbos, so you'd have to eat it raw necessarily. My timer. Now, why should the body be allowed to eat from it and not worry about the issue of muktzah? Because because the fact of the matter is you can't have even a kazayis of meat without checking the whole animal. Therefore, pika shakar, that guy said the chayla shakar. So when he's checking, he's having in mind the chayla. So therefore, you can't say there's an issue of mukta relative to the chayla, and once there's no issue, once it's mutter for the chayla, then it should be mutter for anybody else.
Why?
Because you can't get the kazayis of meat for the chayla without checking the entire animal. So therefore, you can't say the animal is mukta, but you have this one kazayis that's not mukta, and you're going to feed to the chayla. If one kazayis of it is not mukta, the whole thing is not mukta.
If you say the animal, there's no mukta for the chayla, but why do you deduce from that?
Okay, one second. Rather, what it is, Rashi says, okay, the point is, you're not going to make a gzera. No, okay, so what it is like this. You're not going to make it, we might think you have to make a gzera, because if a healthy person is allowed to eat from it, then the person who's doing the malacha might end up doing more, having in mind this way the healthy person can eat from it also. Shitta, there's no such thing. This is one shitta for the whole animal. So therefore, there's no reason to make such a gzera. However, I'm a vasha, l'chodah, b'shabbat, also l'body, so forget about the idea of mukta. No, rather we're saying that these last dinim that Rav Dimi Ben Hagga is saying is not because of mukta, but rather because do we have to make a zera because he might shema yagu b'shula. So when it comes to shchita na, because there's no yagu b'shula, you have to shech the entire animal to get one kazayah to meet it, all right? When it comes to preparing food, so I'm a vasha, l'chodah, b'shabbat, also l'body, zera, shema yagu b'shula, because you have a zera because he might cook extra, having in mind that then he'll be able to feed the healthy person as well, and therefore you can't do that. So the actual halachas in Shulchan Aruch in these dinim are a little bit complicated.
Let's pick out the Shulchan Aruch and summarize the relevant
dinim. Simon Shin Yudchek. So like this, to start with, so if somebody cooks on Shabbos, okay, so the mezid, so the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the three-way machlokes over there, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if he cooks or does one of the other malachas of the mezid, he is never allowed to have hanaf, mishum knas. Other people are allowed to eat it immediately on Matzah Shabbos. You don't even need b'chdeshi also because the Rishonim explain when you have a goy doing malacha for a yid on Shabbos, then you have to raise b'chdeshi also. Because people take that kind of thing carelessly. People figure, you know, Shabbos goy, all that. So therefore, we don't want to have that you're going to have a goy do an actual malacha for you on Shabbos, and you benefit from the fact, oh, as soon as Shabbos is over, I can have it. Therefore, you have to raise b'chdeshi also. To have that a yid is going to do a malacha on the shoydig is an unusual enough thing that we don't have to make such a gzera for that. Another possibility that it says in Shulchan Aruch is if you was a yid, but we're talking about something that he started before Shabbos, which he shouldn't have. For example, putting something on the fire shortly before Shabbos, where it's not going to be cooked enough before Shabbos. Then we tack after it b'chdeshi also mutter Shabbos for the same reason, because that's an issue kal b'ene avir. People take such things carelessly, and we don't want them to think that.
You put the oven on, and you know that after 7 o'clock, you cannot put the oven on. That if you start cooking, even after Shabbos came in, which right now is raw because
it has to have been cooked to Michael Bender's story before Shabbos. By the way, I mean, you have some folks from Achronim argue that maybe nowadays when you have Jews who are unfortunately not so careful with Shabbos, maybe you do have to be goyim even if they did it the shogeg Okay, anyway. Fine. So that's all if it was the mezid. If it was the shogeg, then if it was the shogeg, we still do come to shogeg also mezid. We're concerned that if he's allowed to eat it right away the shogeg, you may come to do it the mezid and claim that it was the shogeg. So therefore, you're allowed to eat it right away, Matzah Shabbos. So you don't need to wait for Chodesh also. Then you have, if you shechted for a chola, sheyesh b'et takana, then again, you're allowed to eat from it, as you said over here, because yesh, which is ice, possible, is shechita, and it doesn't matter whether you became sick on Shabbos or before Shabbos. Either way, ain mukta the Shabbos, because the halacha is like Rav Shimon. On the other hand, mevashal, you have the problem of shem yagu b'shviloi, so therefore, therefore, a healthy person is not allowed to eat from it.
Until after
Shabbos. So in the case of a yid doing this, apparently you don't have to wait for Chodesh also. And if it was a goy doing this, cooking on Shabbos for the chola, you're also allowed to eat it right away. You don't have to wait for Chodesh also, because after all, he did do it behetzer. Cooking, practically speaking, would be visual awkward anyway, you'd have a different issue, but anyway, we're talking about other awkward things.
Yeah, well,
he's not going to put on the fire on Shabbos. So, yeah. Oh, let's say you put it on before Shabbos. Okay. let's go on to the next one. The Shishyasa means the amount of time it would take after Shabbat to do that particular malacha. If we're talking about Shishyasa, for example, it's a couple of minutes. If we're talking about cooking, it could be an hour, whatever.
So if you wait an hour and you put the fire on, then you have
a problem. Well, no. What we mean is, in other words, if a goy cooked for a chola on Shabbat, then the body has to wait until after Shabbat to eat from it, but he does not have to wait for the Shishyasa. Even though, okay, so if a goy cooked on Shabbat, you have an issue anyway because of Bishalaka. If a goy did some other malacha for a chayla on Shabbos, let's say picking the fruit and bringing it, or bringing it outside the tchum or whatever, then you can eat it right away. Not the Shabbos, you do not have to wait for Shabbos. Fine. Now getting back to Dinim of Shtika, Mishnah says, Hashoichet b'mago yad, if somebody shechs using a hand sickle, where it has a sickle used for cutting grain, it has two blades, it has two edges to its blade. One edge is smooth, and the other one is serrated. He obviously can't shecht with the serrated edge, but he shechted with the smooth edge. Or b'tsur, or he shechted using a rock, or a kana, or with a reed, like a piece of bamboo or something. Shechitas b'tsheda, then the shechita is kosher. Now that it implies that it's only b'dieved, and we'll see that in the Gemara. That's what we're going to see. Hakol shecht, and anybody is allowed to shecht, and we'll see in the Gemara what that comes to include. Over olam shecht, and you can shecht at any time. Over kosher, then you can shecht with anything. Chus mi mago kosher, except for a sickle that's used for harvesting grain. Where there you have, this is another kind. Before we were talking mago yad, the kind that's used for hand cutting of grain, like in small quantities. Mago kosher is the kind that's used that you use it for harvesting in larger quantities. The point is, Rashi says, it has a serrated blade, but the serrations all go in one direction. In other words, if you run your fingernail along in one direction, it'll feel smooth. You run it in the other direction, it'll catch. So 1 second. So therefore, you're not allowed to shaft it. In other words, if the serrations are going in one direction, in principle, you would think you could shaft in the smooth direction, because then you don't use it, but nevertheless, we'll see. Okay. So, chutzni magokot, so b'hamagera, also you can't shaft using a saw, bashinayim, or teeth that are in the jaw of an animal, because you have space between one tooth and the next, so it's also serrated, bashiporen, or a fingernail, which is attached to the finger, because all those kinds of things, they don't shech, they rip out the simonim, or they strangle it, the point is, that's one of the five things, that tachol shchita is ikur, is the simonim being torn out rather than cut smoothly, right? So therefore, now, that actually doesn't apply to the fingernail. The Gemara is going to discuss in a couple of blocks, the fingernail is a different reason why it's also space. No, because the fingernail is smooth, but there's a different reason why a fingernail is also when it's attached to the finger. We'll get to that later on your test. Right now, though, we're saying that these things, nagel, kotsu, megeir, or whatever, they have serrations, and therefore they're also for shchita, because they rip out the simonim rather than cutting them smooth.
So not very big enough.
It can be for a small bird or something. It can be for
a small sickle.
So again, mago yad is, it has two edges to its blade, one smooth, one serrated. The mago kosher only has a serrated edge, but all of the serrations point in the same direction. Which means, in other words, if you were to run your fingernail along it, you would feel it smooth in that direction and only in the other direction. Big word for it. A shoichet, now we said if a person shechted with a mago yad or rock or bamboo, we said then it's shechita is kosher and fine. The evidei machatchila lo, only if it was b'dieved. But machatchila apparently you shouldn't be shechted with them. The question is, v'shlema b'mago yad, I can understand why machatchila you should not be shechting with a mago yad, because what if you use the wrong end? Dilma osi l'med b'idechti, so you might by mistake use the wrong edge of the blade, and then you're going to have a possible shechita without realizing. Ella serve a kind of machachila loy. You're telling me you can't machachila shech using a sharp rock or using a sharp bamboo? Why not? But urmini, I have a contradiction. A braita says b'kol shechin, you can shech with anything, and shechin implies even machachila. Beid b'tzur, whether with a rock, beid b'tzufis, whether with a piece of glass, beid b'krumas shakana, or with a reed of bamboo or some other plant like that. Krumas means like the shell, like the outer shell, like it means in other words, like the means, yeah, the short piece of bamboo, like. So again, our Mishnah is saying that you can only that only the Diyevin, but here we're saying the Hatzilah. The answer is Loishasha kan the Tolush kan the Mechuber. It's not a contradiction because one is talking about where they're detached from the ground, and the other one where there's where the rock or the or their kana is still attached to the ground. Namely, the Amar of Kahana, because we have like this. So Kahana says, if somebody shechts using something that's attached to the ground, Rebbe poisel, but Rebbe says it's outright possible, even if it has a sharp edge and everything else is good, because we're going to learn later on, I'm on to Zion, so we'll talk about tomorrow, that's Hashem, why Rebbe would say it's possible. But Rebbe Masha, whereas Rebbe says it's kosher. So therefore, our Mishnah, so now, when our Mishnah says that he shechted using a rock or a kana, and the same B'dievet is kosher, obviously that doesn't work according to Rebbe. According to Rebbe, it would be possible in B'dievet. So it has to be according to Rav Chiya. But even Rav Chiya would be saying, you shouldn't be doing it. So that's what we're going to say. Ad kan lo kamasha Rav Chiya ela b'di'eved. Even Rav Chiya is only going to say that b'di'eved, you shechted with an attached rock or an attached corner, then it's fine.
That's right, you need to fix the neck.
Yeah, you move the neck back and forth on the, yeah, against the rock, yeah. But even Rav Chiya would agree that Rav Chiya, you're not supposed to do that. But my ukimta ki Rav Chiya b'di'eved. Okay, so what are you telling me so far? That the first case of the first three examples in our Mishnah, the Magoyab, the Sir, and the Kona, you're saying only Rav Chiya would say it's kosher, but even he would only say B'dievet. You're saying our Mishnah is according to Rav Chiya. What about Elah HaDetanya? But what about this that we learn in Braisa? Bakosher, then you're allowed to shech with anything, meaning Chachila, Bein B'Tolosh, Bein B'Machover, whether it's detached from the ground, whether it's attached to the ground. Bein shaf sakin l'mayla v'saba behem l'mata, whether the knife is above and the animal's neck is below, which is the normal way of shechting, that you have the animal lying down on the ground and you're holding the knife and doing the shechita. Bein shaf sakin l'mata v'saba behem l'mayla, or the other way around, what if you have the knife is below and the animal's neck is above? Now, the obvious problem is, you might end up doing tirasa, you might chop it off, and you might chop it off, or press into it, or press, which would be one of the five things that passes shechita. No, but yeah, because if the knife is like this, and you have the animal's neck on top of it like this, the neck is going to be very heavy. It might press down onto the blade, and then you have zirasa. Nevertheless, as long as you're careful about that, then there's a shechita as kosher. And the Mishnah seems to be saying that it's kosher even the shechita. Money. Fine, but it's less likely that your hand you have control of your hand. You don't have as much control of the weight of the weight. Okay, so again, we said that our Mishnah, so far we're saying, like, according to Rebbe, shechting with something attached to the ground is b'chlal possible. According to the Chiyas, you shouldn't do it l'chilah with the evidence kosher. But now we have a braisa that's saying that you can shech l'chilah with something that's b'chover, then who is that like? Mani. Loy Rebbe, v'loy Rebbe Chiyas. And it doesn't work according to Rebbe, it doesn't work according to the Chiyas. E Rebbe Chiyas, the evidence l'chilah loy. If it's according to Rebbe Chiyas, even he would say it's only kosher with the evidence. E Rebbe, the evidence nami loy. And according to Rebbe, it wouldn't be kosher even with the evidence. The answer is, well, Olam Rav Chiya. No, you can say that last braisa is, in fact, according to Rav Chiya. V'afilu l'chila. You would say that actually Rav Chiya would say no. It's not like we were thinking before that our Mishnah is implying he would only say it's kosher b'di'evid. He would say that the shech with something attached to the ground is kosher even l'chila. V'ai, v'komitvigi b'di'evid. So why are they arguing in our Mishnah, in the first braisa, why are they arguing on b'di'evid to tell us how far Rebbe goes that when it's mechuber, Rebbe would say that even b'di'evid is possible. It's not just a matter of Rebbe saying it's mechuber, I'm concerned that the neck may press against the knife and therefore it'll be possible. No, Rebbe has his own reason, which we'll say later on. He learns from a positive that it's possible b'di'evid, that it's possible if it's attached to the ground, period. So therefore, that's why we mention the machloekas in that way. But in fact, Rebbe would hold his kosher even b'di'evid. Rebbe Chiya would hold his kosher even l'chila. Even l'chila. That's the point. He said. So therefore, when the last braisa says b'kosher, that would be according to Rebbe Chiya, because Rebbe Chiya, in fact, would say that l'chila you could check that even l'chila you could check with something attached, not as we thought before. Okay, well then, the Elamach Nissen, the Katani Ashesha, the Ebede Mahakilai. Okay, going back to our Mishnah, which implies that it's only kosher with these things if it was Bidi Ebed. Well, Mani, then who would that be like? Loi Rebbe, Loi Rav Chiya. Then again, it's not like Rebbe and not like Rav Chiya. E Rav Chiya, Afilu Hakilah. Based on what we just said, Rav Chiya would allow even the Hakilah. So our Mishnah shouldn't have said Hashoichet if he shechted, implying only Bidi Ebed. It should have said Shoichin, Vain the Magos Kosher, etc. And the Rebbe, the Ebed, not the Lord, according to Rebbe, it's possible even the Ebed. So who would our Mishnah be like? The answer is, Olam Reb Chiya Vafilu L'Hachila. The answer is yes. We still stick with our thing that Reb Chiya would say it's kosher to shech with something that's attached to the ground, even L'Hachila. U'masnissin dekatoni ha-sheichet Rebbe. Our Mishnah that says v'di'evet it's kosher would be according to Rebbe. Well, then the question is, kasha the Rebbe the Rebbe, then in that case you have a contradiction, because before we were saying Rebbe said it's possible even the Eved, our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe is implying it's allowed to the Eved. It was like kasha, can the mechubah me'ikre, can the tolosh or the soif chibra. Because you have like this, if you have it was attached to the ground from the beginning, so for example, you have a bamboo that was growing from the ground, and you split it open and try to use the sharp edge of it for shtita, Rebbe will say that it's possible even b'diyet. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is talking about the same thing with the rock. Our Mishnah is talking about that if you have a piece of bamboo that was detached from the ground, you stuck it into the ground. It's not actually grown yet. You just stuck it into the ground, and then you're using it to shech. Then you're moving the animal's neck along, back and forth along it. That is where Rebbe would say, l'chachila it's usur. But yeah, l'chachila you shouldn't do that. No, it's not mechuba. It's not mechuba, but since it, that's the thing. Because it's tolo shulosai chidro, so it's not really attached to the ground. There's no root. So therefore, Rebbe will say, b'di'evet it's kosher. You shouldn't be doing l'chachila. So therefore, so that's what it is. That means. So again, if it was mechuba l'chalka, then Rebbe Chiya will say it's kosher even l'chachila, and Rebbe will say it's possible even b'di'evet. If it's tolo shalva say chibroi, Reb Chiya will still say it's kosher even l'chila, because he holds even if it was attached to begin with, it's kosher l'chila. And Rebbe will say, okay, here I'm not going to say it's possible, but I will say you shouldn't do it l'chila. It's only kosher b'diyet. That is what our Mishnah is talking about. Hashurcha b'mago yad the third of a koner shkitatik shera, that he shechted with a mago yad, then it's kosher only b'diyet because like this he used the smooth side, but what if he makes a mistake and uses the rough side? And in the case of the sir and the connor, because he reattached them to the ground, therefore Rebbe would say, you're not chiller, you shouldn't be shechting with them, but the evidence you did the shchita is fine.
He put it in the ground.
Yeah, he stuck it back into the ground, I'll say, yeah. Okay. So that's that, and then we'll continue tomorrow about Hashem, where we're going to see that there is such an that there is an actual difference like that between something that l'chiller is attached to the ground versus something that was reattached to the ground. That's we'll take that discussion up tomorrow about Hashem.
Sure.